Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word?
Open up your Bibles. We're going to be going to the book of Joshua in a moment. And today we're going to be talking about Easter eggs. That's the title of my message, Easter eggs. And this is part one. Next week will be part two. Next week we'll be strong and courageous. But today, in talking about Easter eggs, we're going to be talking about the church. The church. You know, for years, we have read the Bible searching for overlays. We have tried to discover parallel truths in the Bible and which highlight the plan of God for our lives. And those of you that may be joining us maybe for the first time, maybe you're wondering, what is an overlay? What is an overlay? Well, let me explain what an overlay is to you in our sense. I'm thinking we're probably the only people that teach overlays. I've never heard this anywhere else, but we've been doing this for a number of years. As I said, when we read the Bible, we try our best to find overlays and to discover parallel truths that apply to our lives today. An overlay is an attempt to reinforce the truth of God's Word. We try to reinforce that truth in our mind so we leave here remembering the truth that God shared with us. As I said, an overlay is an attempt to reinforce the truth of God's Word in our mind as we insert ourselves into the story. Whatever Bible story we might be reading, we try to find out who are we in that story. Because we know that God is intending on us understanding truth from the accounts He has given us. We know He wishes that God is hoping that the story that we're reading in the Bible or the story that we're teaching in the Bible, He's hoping that we can find ourselves, that He can highlight a truth that would make us end up embracing His Word and leaving here, you know, better than we came. Leaving here with something that we can remember. Because teaching has not actually taken place unless the student can remember it. You know, I can be telling this morning, I can be talking, but I'm only teaching if you leave here remembering what I said. You can be listening, but learning only takes place when you can repeat what I've said. That's one of the reasons Jesus taught in parables. Parables, overlays. It's an overlay. He was hoping that when He taught in a parable, that and Jesus used parables to highlight truth. And He was hoping that the people He was teaching the parable to, He was hoping that they could find themselves. Maybe they were the farmer, maybe they were the seed, maybe they were the soil, you know. And maybe they could see themselves in that story that He was telling. And they could also see who other characters were around them and also help determine the outcome. And if you happen to see yourself as a character you don't want to be, or if you see yourself on a road that has an outcome that you don't want, then this was Jesus' opportunity for you to leave there thinking about it, so hopefully you would change. I mean, who in the world wants to build their house on sand? Hello? But even worse than that, if you find yourself in that parable and you are the one that is selling sand for everyone else to build on, what if you are selling something that is not solid rock? What if you are teaching or preaching something that just does not work in God's eyes? It may sound good, it may feel good, it may rub your tummy. But if it's not the solid rock of the Word of God, who wants to preach and teach that? So, you know, it's important that we insert ourselves into the accounts of the Bible. The Bible is not just a history book. It is a roadmap. It helps us to identify where we are, where we want to go, and our best route to get there. And this is a part of our responsibility. And so with this thought in mind, with these things in mind, then today we're going to look at one of the Bible stories, one of the many Bible stories, that highlights the resurrection and the Great Commission. Okay? One such story in the Bible that highlights both the resurrection and the Great Commission is the story we find in the book of Joshua. I know that you may not have connected these before, but God connects everything. Everything in His Word is so intrinsically connected because God is only telling one story. He just tells it over and over and over in the lives of different people, in the lives of different situations. And if you are ever reading a story and you're having a difficult time figuring out what the story is about, look for the redemptive quality. Because the one story God is telling is a story of redemption. It's always a story of Him blessing and helping and meeting needs, avoiding failure, avoiding catastrophe, avoiding problems, healing, help, hope. It's always going to be pointed at that. And today we will make use of this account from the first chapter of Joshua. And if you'll follow along with me, we're going to lay something on top of Joshua on the story. Today, we're going to lay Jesus and the church and the Great Commission and the resurrection on top of that story, okay? And this is part one. Next week, we'll do part two entitled Strong and Courageous. But today, it's about the church, all right? So let's look. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let's look at verse 1 of Joshua 1. Are you ready? Now remember, Jesus is going to be a main character in this story, and so is the church. After the death of Moses, guess who Jesus is going to be? He's going to be the Moses, okay? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Jehovah, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Okay, boom. There's going to be the disciples at first. Why? Because Joshua was the son of Nun. He was Moses' assistant. Okay? The disciples were Jesus' assistant. Once you identify one character in an overlay, the other characters kind of become reasonably plain. And we can see multiple layers and levels of parallel truths that all telling the same story. And I believe that's a story that God is telling here. It's a story that would come to pass because God knows the end from the beginning. It's the story that one day Jesus was going to die and His assistants were going to be in charge of the continuing story of God. Okay, And as I said, Moses, Jesus, and the disciples are Joshua, but actually today it's the church. How do I get at that? Well, let me show you. You see, the disciples became the church. Now, this will so excite some of you, and some of you won't care anything about it. But let me show you how I arrive at the fact that the disciples became the church. Now, you remember the New Testament is only a snapshot of 40 years. The Old Testament is 4,000 years. God bringing Messiah to a lost and hurting world. The New Testament covers approximately 40 years, okay, of the church carrying Jesus to the world, okay? Continuing the Old Testament, one generation, 40 years. In that 40 years, the disciples carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to Rome, to Corinth, to Colossae, to Ephesus, to Philippi, to Laodicea, to Pergamos, to their whole known world in only 40 years. And as I've said before, not one of them even owned a bicycle. Okay? Okay? What are we doing with our 40 years? The New Testament is a snapshot of what every generation should be doing with their 40 years of service to the Lord. What are we doing? We should be doing what they did. So, the disciples became the church. In the Gospels, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you counted the number of times that the word church appeared, you would find it three times, twice in one scripture. So really only mentioned twice. The church is mentioned two times. Three times if you count both times in that one verse, okay? Upon this rock I will build my church, you know. That's one of them. If you counted the number of times the word disciples are mentioned, you would see it's 226 times. Interesting. Because disciples were pretty important. Disciples are always important. Always. You know, we're told to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Yeah. If you went from the Gospels to the book of Acts, and you counted the number of times the word church is mentioned, it's 22 times. It went from three times in two scriptures to 22 times. The church is growing, okay? Disciples was 226 times. Now the word disciples is mentioned 29 times. In Acts, only 29 times. Once we get beyond Acts, into the epistles and beyond, from the book of Romans all the way through the book of Revelation, the word church is mentioned 90 times. You see, the church is growing. And the word disciple is never heard again. Interesting, huh? 226, 29, 0. Why? Because the disciples became the church. Under the same commission that the disciples of Jesus had received, now the church was carrying out this great commission. The New Testament, as I said, is a snapshot of one generation. And disciples are intended by God to become the church. That's why I'm telling you that in today's situation, Jesus is the Moses and the church is the Joshua. Okay? We are the assistants of Jesus. We are the ones carrying on this thing that God wanted Moses to do. Go down and deliver them from Egypt, from Pharaoh, from bondage, and bring them out and save them and bring them through the wilderness of this world. You see, the world is the wilderness. And take them into the promised land, but Jesus died before me and you went to heaven. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Jesus, by the way, he's not dead. He was dead. He's not dead now, but he was dead. And when he died, responsibility shifted, just like here. Now, therefore, arise, Joshua. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, the children of Israel. The land I'm giving them, the children of Israel. You see, the same goal continued, the same purpose, the same hope that God had when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt is the same hope that God has for us when we come out of sin, get born again. Even though we are walking in this wilderness, the wilderness of this world, the hope is that one day we will cross over that Jordan and enter into the promised land, eternity, and we will enter into that which God has promised to us if we would come out of bondage, if we would come out with Jesus, if we would trust Jesus, if we would let Him lead us out and lead us through, we will go in. It's just a simple picture here. Both Moses and Jesus taught people who were wandering in a wilderness. Outside of the kingdom, outside of the promised land, outside of the kingdom of God. It's someone else's turn now. Why? Because Jesus died. And when the death of the testator occurs, the testament goes into effect. And the testament is, it's your turn. Why is it your turn? Well, because the Bible says in Mark 16 that Jesus sat down and they went forward. Their turn. Whether it's the church in Jerusalem, in Antioch, in Ephesus, in Rome, the church is commissioned to take ground, to go into all the world. Joshua, take ground. Go and possess. You know, your enemies, you know, are formidable, but you're well able. You can do this. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Well, just like, you know, if we overlay that, just like God said to Jesus, He's saying to us now, every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I'll give you for an inheritance. That's what Jesus, just like I said to Moses, I'm saying to you. That's what Jesus said in John 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. You're under the same commission that I was under. You're under the same goals. You're under the same hope that I was under. And by the way, you have the same power that I had. Verse 4. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. You see, the boundaries were very delineated in the Old Testament. The children of Israel were told, this is your territory to take and to hold. This is yours. This is your ground. And every place you go, I give. Well, now, today, in the time of the Great Commission, we are told in Matthew 28, go into all the world, the whole world, and all the nations are the boundaries to which we have been given to evangelize and to hold and to make an impact in and to drive out the devils and the demons and the hordes of hell, to drive out all of those things which are holding the earth captive, the enemies of God. Verse 5. By the way, is this making sense, this particular overlay? All right, we'll get to a couple of takeaways in a little bit. Okay? So, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, he said this to Joshua. He said this to Jesus. And here in our day, he's saying it the same he did to Moses, the same he did to Joshua, the same he did to Jesus, the same he is to the church, the disciples of Christ. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, as I was with Jesus, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Sounds like Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 to me, doesn't it? You know? He has said, you know, He will never leave us or forsake us, so that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall man do unto me? I shall not be afraid. Wow. Behold, He said in Luke 10:19, I give you power. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Woo! Come on, that's just good basic Bible that's being taught all the way back in Joshua. Giving the Israelites in that situation a boldness and a courage to go forward. Why? Because they were afraid. Because there were enemies. Enemies threatening to kill them. Enemies who did not like them. Enemies who did everything they could to stop them from sharing their message. And all the while, the enemies were afraid of them. All the while, they were shaking in their boots in Jericho. All the while, the whole nation of enemies knew that they could not stop Jehovah on His march through His children. And this is what Jesus has said to us. Behold, look around you. Don't be afraid of me, and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am your helper. You can boldly say, because I have given you authority over all of the enemy's ability, and nothing shall be able to harm you. Wow, what a deal. Matthew 16, he said it this way. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whatever you bind, because I've given you keys to the kingdom, whatever you disallow on earth, let it be what I have no longer allowed in my heaven. And whatever you give free course to, let it be free course to heaven.
Wow. Open up the lands. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead that courses through our veins. Well, there is a boldness that was made available to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are in the season of resurrection. We are in this spring season. Overlays, hidden truths, Easter eggs, that if you do not search for them, if you do not put yourself into that account, you might miss, into that parable. If you cannot identify yourself in the parable, you might be missing some great truths that could lead you on a wonderful and powerful and very successful adventure. There's a boldness, as I said, that is made available to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are soldiers of the cross, no less than the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan. Every day we step into the land of Canaan. Every day we march up to walled cities. Every day we face the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. Every day we face, you know, all the creeping hordes of hell, but not one of them has power over us. We're soldiers of the cross. We're members of the church. We're children of the Most High God. And we have been filled with the same Spirit of God. And by the way, let me tell you what we do, what you do, what you do as a church member, as a soldier of the cross, as a born again child of God. What you do is not a job. It's a joy. What you do is not a job. You have rather been called. It's a privilege. It's a position to which we have been called by God. We have been called to occupy a position in the earth. I am hoping you can find some Easter eggs in the Word of God every time you go there. Today, I'm going to give you two things as we close that I'm hoping you will take from this message. The first thing, number one, is that God has His victory already planned. Okay? He's got His victory already. He knows the end from the beginning. I mean, the same God that could write this, and then we see it unfold. You know, all throughout the Word of God, this story is told over and over and over and over again, just with different people in different scenarios, in different settings. But it's the same story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of the Great Commission. It's a story of love unfolding. It's a story of God choosing people and giving them a position and a privilege to set others free. It's the same story. He has His victory already planned, and He has planned your victory as well. Wherever you are in life, you're headed for victory. You are headed for victory. Now, granted, it might be the day you cross over that Jordan, okay? But that's okay. I can make it. I can make it. You know, in this world, Jesus said you'll have tribulation, testings, trials, some tragedy here and there. You're bigger than it. You're greater than it. Fight it. Resist the devil. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, the same sufferings, the same problems are faced by every one of your born-again believing brothers and sisters in the world. So it's not something strange, as Peter said. Don't think it is strange the things that are happening to you that seem to run against the sails that you have set. Because when Jesus sent the disciples and He said, get into the boat, cross over the sea, the first thing they did is they encountered resistance and they worked for hours and weren't getting anywhere. And Jesus came and got in the boat and calmed the sea. Listen, sometimes that's what it takes. But don't despair. He's got your victory planned as well. He has a place prepared for us. We are soldiers of the cross. Everything is right on schedule. Just like Robin said earlier, don't believe the propaganda of the devil, what the devil is saying. But listen, He's got your victory planned. Everything is right on schedule. Okay, he didn't wake up this morning and go, "Oh my goodness, you know, that person? No way. How did they become mayor or whatever?" Okay, God's not panicking. Okay, don't be afraid of men. He has said that I might boldly say, the Lord, He will never leave me nor forsake me. I am well able. The Lord is my helper. What shall anyone else do to me? And I have power over demons. So I refuse to be afraid of man. I refuse to be afraid of demons or devils. I'm not going to be afraid of just not going to live in fear. Why? Because God has it planned. He has the victory already planned. Number two, our part. I'm talking about the church. Our part and your part is to make disciples. We are here to make disciples. Why? Because disciples make a church. And church brings about the continuing goals and missions and ministries of God. Our part is to make disciples. You see, you do that every day already. You rub off on people. You influence people. Bible encourages us to not make them worse than we are. You know, but it's not a job, it's a joy to invest in people. I'm going to encourage you to invest in people this week. On purpose, you do it anyway. You know the comments that you make, the texts that you send, the stories that you share. You influence people. You do. It's called making disciples. It's a joy to make disciples for Christ, and it's simple. Let me just tell you, you put this in your head. You know, just talk to your friends about Jesus. And don't sell them any sand. Okay? It won't work. Don't try to make them feel better, although they should feel better, because it's a good word. It's a gospel. It's good news. Okay? It's good news. Share it like it's good news, okay? But don't sell them any sand. And by the way, make sure you invite them to church. Why? Because Jesus died for the church. It's His body. It's His bride. He's coming back for the church. The church is important. Disciples made the church. From the book of Romans all the way through the rest of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it's all about the church. It's not about individuals. It's about the church. God's plan depends on the people that you will be meeting this week. God's plan depends on people that you will be influencing this week. He made it that way. He's depending on us. He will depend on those we bring to Him. So, Joshua 1:6 is where we begin next week. And here's what it says. Be strong and of good courage. Do that this week. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That's the church's part. To show people the inheritance that God has planned for them.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.